You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
Last couple weeks, we've actually been talking about the Holy Spirit, and it was crazy that when I wasn't here, God kind of kept that right in line, and Steve Cote preached about the Holy Spirit, and Greg preached about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to once again preach to you about the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn to John chapter 14, verse 16. I've got to go to other churches and preach a little lately. You don't do that a lot. And I've been able to do that. And there's a sweet presence here, church. Sometimes when you leave home and you get to come back, you don't realize until you get back. I don't want us to ever lose that presence of God. I don't want us to ever be numb to it. Oh, the book of John says, I'm sorry, I cry all the time. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Now listen, listen carefully. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. Who knows him? You do. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, I'm not going to keep you long, but I'm going to give you five real quick things I want to touch on. In order for the Spirit of God to be resonant in my life, I have to have a life that is dedicated and separated from carnal living. Let's pray, God. Fill this place with your presence and your anointing. God, you're already here. I don't even have to say fill your presence, but Lord, help us to get a hold of it. Lord, help us to see, Father, it's the changing power of God that touches us and moves on us. Father, when we're crazy and stupid and we don't do it right, it's your power that helps us, Father. And Lord, it's the power of God that brings us back every week. It's not me, it's not the praise team, it's not the people that are here, it's your presence and your power. And God, we praise you and thank you, Father, for your presence and power in this house. We thank you, Father, Lord, that you've come down once again tonight and touched us. And Lord, that you continue to touch us in spite of our stupidity, in spite of the things we don't know, God. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart that is open to your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you take the blinders off and, Lord, uncap their ears, Father, so that they may hear your true word. Get rid of the numbness, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said, I have to have a life that is dedicated and separated from carnal living. And I know I'm talking, but I've heard a very well-known pastor the other day speak about this grace, and I actually originally heard him talk about it about a year ago, and he made a dangerous statement. It was one of the most dangerous church statements I've ever heard in my life. He said, there are times that you've got to forget the truth and embrace the grace. And so I'm going to make a statement that he'll probably never hear. You cannot never separate grace and truth. You cannot. My point is, we're living in a world, and I warn you and I admonish you about it probably too often. But we're living in a world that where Jesus has been. Jesus said deception would be rampant. Every day that goes by, in the world, we see that it gets worse and worse. Can I get an amen? Amen. And you can live however you want to in the new church Christian realm. And you mix a dose of grace with a dose of whatever you want to do and a little bit of Jesus. And then we supposedly have heaven. But nothing that defiles or messes with your eternal life enters into that city. I want you to understand. Paul said something very simple, but we graze over it a lot. He said, shall we continue to sin? God forbid. Thank God for his grace. I'm glad to have the grace of God. I wouldn't be here today without the grace of God. But the grace of God is not a license to sin. It's not a license to keep acting like the world and running around with the world and living like the world. And, you know, I got a free ticket to heaven. And this is not what the Bible teaches. And what we have to create is not, we don't need another group of religious people. We need people that are connected to God and have decided that they're going to live for purity and live for the power of God and live sanctified and live holy and live set apart. And I look into my Bible in Acts 2:38, after Peter preached his first public message, he said to them, after they said, what must we do? Peter comes to the conclusion of this whole message that he preaches. And he's going to answer their question. In Acts 2:38, he says, then Peter said unto them, now catch this, because we have a lot of, you know, pastor, how do I receive the Holy Ghost and all this stuff? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So the word that he used is repent. It means to think differently afterwards, to reconsider your position. Now that's good stuff. Amen. He said repent. If I'm going to truly walk in the power of the Spirit, I have to truly understand the idea of dedication and separation. I have to understand the idea of sanctification, because from those things I get out of the carnal world and I get out of the fleshly nature and out of the fleshly pleasures. You understand? John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He wanted a life of change. He wanted us to fall on our face before him for the remission of your sins. The word is ephesus, meaning remission of sins or sins that are chased away. Isn't it funny how God uses specific words? And the Bible says, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, we can short-circuit that, and we can bypass that. And we have to understand perception here. But so let's just briefly go back to the scripture. And I'm trying my best to teach. I'm asking God lately to help me slow down, because I've preached things many times, and I think I preach them too fast, and I get excited, and I don't know what I say. So I'm trying my best. And so just as you're sitting there, just ask the Lord to help me, because I'm asking the Lord to help me help you. And I will pray the Father, John 14 again, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide, with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now listen carefully. The world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now he says to the believer, he shall give you another comforter. He says to the believer, you know him. He says to the believer, he dwells with you. He says to the believer, he shall be in you. Now to the unbeliever, he says, they don't see him. He said they don't know him. Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be, let's try it again, and shall be. The word see here means to perceive and discern. The world don't get it. The world does not see him. The world does not discern him. Amen? If you're here today and you don't know him, and you're not saved, this is crazy talk for a lot of people. Because according to Jesus, someone not saved cannot discern or perceive who the Comforter is. You understand? Now Jesus said he would send them, but they would not. He would send him, but he would not see him. And they do not know him. The word know means to understand. You can't understand the Holy Ghost. You can't understand the Spirit. I don't care how anybody puts it. What I'm talking about is that the church of God needs a ghost, a dose of ghost. And listen, I don't care how people put it or what they say. We need to understand that if we don't know him, we're not going to discern him. And if we can't get a hold of him, we better rethink what we're doing at church. So they don't understand or discern him. So if you're a believer, you're going to walk in the power. You must understand the holiness of God, the purity of God. I'm not talking about perfect people. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm imperfect on my best day. I'm talking about people that are sincerely living with their heart in line with God. They're living for God to speak into their next moment. And the church said amen, I hope. Amen. Now, the second thing. We must have a desire for spiritual fullness. John 7:37. Now, I'm going to stop right here because I'm teaching you, and 700 of you out there have asked me questions, and I don't see one of you taking notes. Okay? I got two of you, and they're sure to tell me. Desire for spiritual fullness. John 7:37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He said, if any man thirst, are you thirsty? It's just what Jesus said. If anyone is spiritually thirsty, let him come to me and drink. The word drink is the word inbib. It means to take on or to drink down, to take in or to gulp up. Listen, we need the Spirit of God. We're going to take it in. We're going to get a hold of it. We're going to drink it down. Why? Because our soul is thirsty. Our heart is thirsty. We realize that it's critical for our Christian walk to have the Holy Ghost. Why? You know why that the Holy Ghost comes? So that he can comfort you and direct you and guide you in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your situation. Well, Pastor, you always say that because we're always in the midst of a situation. We're always in the midst of something, and we need the power of God to move. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me, gulp me down, drink me up. Matthew 5:6 said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The word dikasune, it means to be thoroughly connected. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after being thoroughly connected, for they shall be filled. The word hunger means to be famished, to crave, to be starving, to be right with God. He said, they shall be filled. They shall gorge themselves on the Spirit, if you study the word. And the Spirit will be supplied in abundance. That's what it says, if you study it. We're looking for something to fill our humanity. But we're never going to be full as long as we're not eating of the right things. You know, it's the house of God. It's the word of God. Peter said, Paul said, I found his word and I did eat it. Listen, we got to get a hold of it, because there's going to be things in your life that are going to break you down, and you're not going to believe that God's going to help you, and Satan's going to try to push you down, and he's going to try to make you angry, and he's going to try to make you numb. But if you constantly crave the word of God, when you get in those broken moments, that's when the Holy Spirit rises up. When you can't do it, God can. When I can't be there, God will help you. You understand? A lot of us are hungry, but we're craving the wrong food. We're craving the wrong excitement. We need the Spirit. We need the infilling. We need the fullness of God. When people get the Holy Ghost, they look different. When people get the Holy Ghost, they act different. When people get the Holy Ghost, they get set on fire. When Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. What he's saying is, come to me and be satisfied. Are you satisfied today? Don't lie to me. There ain't not one person in this place satisfied. You know why? Because you haven't delved into the power of God. He will satisfy you. He will make you free. He will make you whole. You don't have to settle for some kind of fake craziness. You don't need to settle for what someone has manufactured or produced. You need to settle for the presence of God. And when you get into your prayer closet and when you read the Word of God and allow God to speak to you, the Bible says the Spirit will give unto you. It's a free gift. Amen. You've got to have determined prayer time. When I look at the Bible, prior to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, in Luke 11, 13, the end of the verse says, Father, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. The word ask means to crave and desire, to require. You see the theme here? It's a craving for God. I want more of him. Now, what happens is we get saved and we get excited about God and we come into the church house and we'll do anything. But then we get hurt and we get broken and we get this and we get that. And some of it, a lot of it, is our own fault. But then we start to settle back and we start to forget to crave God because we've craved all these other things in the church and it hasn't helped us. And so we forget to desire him and we forget to that he requires time with us. I'm going to say that to you again. He requires time with you. It's determined prayer time. It's a time where I've set apart with God over an open Bible and I read and pray and discover who he is. Why? Because I'm going to be broken one day. I'm going to be messed up. Listen, watch this. You're not always broken, but God's going to send the broken to you. And you're going to need to be there to help them. And you're going to be able to talk to them and give them scripture and help them to think on the good things of God in the midst of their struggle. Amen. That's what we're looking for. That's what God's looking for. Acts 1:14, these all continued with one according to prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They were all unanimously seeking God. The word means to pray earnestly. They were giving a request, a partition to the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came in great power, the Bible says. Now watch. Acts chapter 9, God says, arise and go to the street called Straight and look for one, Saul of the house of Judas. And behold, he is praying there, and there's a man, Ananias, and he came. And God is speaking to him. And Saul of Tarsus is over there praying. Now, the word means to pray in earnest, to pray so intently that you don't even focus on anything but God. You're seeking the face of God so intently that nothing changes what's happening. See, in the church, my goodness, there's always something going on. And we think we gotta see what everybody's doing. And they got a lifesaver, so I need a lifesaver. But I don't like that flavor. Do you got another one? And God speaks to Ananias, and he comes to the street called Straight and lays his hand on Saul of Tarsus, and the scales fall from his eyes. And the Bible says, watch, he is filled with the Holy Ghost. Why is that important before I go to chapter 10? Because Saul was a guy that was religious, and Jesus came to combat religion. And when Jesus sent this man to touch him, Saul received Paul. He became Paul, right? He received the power of the Holy Ghost that caused him to change from a religious person to a person of God. There's two people sitting in the church right now. There are the religious, and there are the sold out people of God. Which one are you? In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man. Can I say something else? If you're sitting there thinking that person next to me is the one that needs to, that is religious, then I'm probably talking to you. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and the one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And the word prayer here means to crave. There it is again. To beg, to make a request. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Now that would about scare you to death, unless you were already tapping into the Spirit. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, see? And he said, what is it, Lord? So he was afraid, but he knew who was talking to him, because he identified him. And he said unto them, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Lord, help me to have a memorial. Your prayers, he said. Here is this man that is seeking the face of God. At the start of Acts chapter 10, something profound happens in about verse 40 or 40 through 46. And the Spirit of God was poured out on the world of the Gentiles. That's you and me. And I want you to understand that as Gentiles, we got some blessing. We got some gift. Listen, and I don't know why we set on it. And I don't know why we try to fight it. And I don't know why that we, listen, we don't care that the world calls us crazy. But if you say I speak in tongues, man, you'll slide right down in your seats. You don't want to hear that. But I'm telling you right now, when you speak under the power of God, listen, babies will shut their mouth. And people will begin to change, because the power of God is what causes movement. This happened just because a man was seeking the face of God. He didn't have a big name. He wasn't a fancy preacher. If you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, pray. Boy, they won't put that on Facebook. Let it be something that you desire. Let it be something that you call on. Do you remember when you were hot after God? I remember when I first started pastoring, I didn't care about parking lot people, and I didn't care about ushers, and I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have much more sense than I had then. If I didn't have the team that I have, I'd be in trouble, because they're always saying, well, what about this? Did you forget this? And I get mad at them, but I'm like, yeah, you're right. We've got to have God move. We've got to just be in this place where God can fall on us, and we're ready for what God wants to say, and we're ready for what God wants to do. And listen, when you're in that position and when you're in that place where you've bowed before Him and you're craving the presence of God, it's a place of unity. And listen, it's unified heart. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about your heart, because there's a lot of things going on in men and women, and they're over here and they're over there, and they're trying to listen to the sermon, and they're trying to make it to church, and they're trying to take care of their kids. When you pray and spend time with God, God unifies everything inside of you. And listen, I'm talking about unified body, unified heart, unified mind. When the Holy Spirit falls, you've been unified under your own understanding, and you don't have to worry about the kids and the husband and the insurance and everything else, because God is the center of your attention. Something that we understand or need to understand is that the Holy Ghost is a gift of God for your life. The gift of the Holy Ghost is free. It's a gift that is free to you and to me. And it's handed down from a loving God. But it takes, number four, devoted obedience. Acts 5:32. Thank you. And we are His witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. What are we saying? Obey Him today. It means to be persuaded by the ruler, to submit to authority. God honors obedience. As a matter of fact, there's a verse that says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Isaiah 1:19, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. 1 Samuel 15:22, the end of the verse says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. When I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, if I understood correctly, in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Did you hear the key word there? Spirit. As the Spirit told them what to say. Now, a lot of people don't understand this. If I'm seeking the face of God and I'm living a life repented before God and I ask the Lord to fill me with the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to have to stand in front of the church and say hallelujah 700 times. And I'm not going to have to speak with stammering lips for weeks and weeks and weeks. Are you hearing me? I'm not going to have to say fill me over and over and over and over. How many of you have been offered a free gift? If I was to walk up with an 18-inch pepperoni and cheese pizza, extra cheese, and said, you can have it, would you just stand there and let me hold the box? I don't know anybody in here that would. Even if you don't like pepperoni, it's free. I can pick it off. It's free. What do? You go get it. You go get whatever someone's offered you. Facebook thing where people say, free, come and get it, I'll meet you at the dollar store. 5 p.m., you drive past the dollar store, there's 900 people there. I mean, the dollar store ain't seen that many people. And they're getting stuff out of the back of cars because they got it for free. If I see something free that I want, I'm going to chase after it. I'm going to go after it. You ask the Lord, but you don't have to beg the Lord. Because when the Holy Ghost came, He stayed. It's free. So what do? I receive. Well, how do I receive? When I was baptized with the Holy Ghost, I was sitting with someone. And I was praying with them. And I found myself, this is the best way I can explain it to you, is wading out into the river of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way I can describe it. That's the only difference that I really had in my life. And I wasn't worried about a thing. I had a lot of things going on in my life. I wasn't worried about nothing. I was just ready to experience the power of God. And I remember feel like I was almost stepping off into the presence of God. I was wading into the river and I just wanted more of Him. And I had prayed for weeks for it. And I'd asked God for it over and over. And all of a sudden, boom, it just hit me. You know what I mean? It's like almost like something clicks and the power of God falls. And I didn't need a whole church service and I didn't need all these people. I just needed God to move and I was comfortable in His presence and I wasn't worried about feeling guilty and I wasn't worried about feeling broken and did I do everything right? All I wanted to experience is the power of God and I wanted to be close to Him and I wanted to do everything right. You following what I'm saying? Because we live in a world now where we want to just stand on the edge of right and wrong and be so close to the world but so close to God. You can't do it and have the Holy Spirit, church. You got to get rid of the chains. You got to get loose. You got to let go of some things. You ever met people that do 7,000 things, but they do none of them well? It's because they're trying to do too much. Just experience the power of God by stepping into the flood of the Spirit. It was something I didn't understand, but I knew I wanted the presence of God. And I'll be honest with you, I couldn't pastor a church without the Holy Spirit. I don't know how pastors do it. There's pastors all over the world that do it. But I couldn't pastor a church without the Holy Spirit because I need Him to guide me because I get it wrong and I've got to fall down and say, God, I'm sorry, I tried to do it again and I need You to take care of it and can You help me? And He speaks to me. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Someone will say, well, I don't want it to be me. Well, who do you think it's going to be? If you want the power of God, it's going to be you. If I'm walking down the street and I see Doris, I'm going to think in my mind to say hello. And I'm going to say hello. You see how that works? Acts chapter 2, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. He formed what came out of their mouth. He told them what to say. Now, it doesn't get any simpler than this. If you're waiting for the Holy Ghost to take you over, and make you act like some kind of robot, I'm going to tell you right now that you'll never experience him. Because it's a free gift. You're begging for something that he already gave you. What do I have to do? I have to yield to him. I have to obey him. I don't know if I said that. I don't need someone to say hallelujah over and over. And what we do is we get tongue-tied, and they say something crazy that ain't even a word. Right? And then we go home and say, we got the Holy Spirit. And then we get into trouble, and we've got the fake, and we don't know how to experience the real. Amen. The fifth thing. You must have decisive faith. Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We've got to believe God. I can stand here and tell you things I've seen, things I know, things I've experienced. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've looked at a lot of the world. But I want you to understand, you have to start looking at the Holy Spirit. We can look at studies. We can put things in context. And listen, the Holy Spirit will stir your faith. If he doesn't stir your faith, you don't have what you say you have. Because people want to testify about him. They want to tell. They don't want to sit on the church pew like drones. The Bible says we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. If you don't, well, you got to believe. You got to believe. I found a long time ago that if people can't seem to grasp the fact that it's a free gift, and they don't, they try to manipulate it, they try to beg. You don't have to push God and prod God, and you know, I wish I could just talk to people that had the Holy Ghost and tell them that just they got the Holy Ghost. I've heard people praying for the Holy Ghost and woke up speaking in tongues. I've heard all kinds of things. But listen, you don't have to poke and prod God. You just got to get close to God. You don't have to wait until we have an altar call. God will do it right where you sit. I don't know. I was a young kid, and this lady had sought for the Holy Ghost for 6 months, Hayes. Church was going on without her, and she was sitting in the back, and all of a sudden she let out a war whoop and started speaking in tongues and jumped up, and the whole church wondered, what in the world is going on with this lady? She started screaming, I got it, I got it. He gave it to me, he gave it to me. I got it, I got it. Of course, you know, I was like, what in the world is she talking about? Once you understand it's a free gift, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we come to the place that Jesus is the only thing that we're focused on, when Jesus is all we have to believe, when Jesus is the center of our attention, then, listen, have you sought the Holy Spirit in a while? Have you asked God to speak to you and direct you and guide you? Or are you just worried about what the pastor's going to say next? How's he going to make me mad? What is he going to do? Here's what I know. Jared, would you come to the piano? I've seen people do some crazy things in the name of Pentecost. I've seen people get in the flesh in the name of Pentecost. I've seen people do foolish things in the name of Pentecost. But that has never stopped me, because I've seen the genuine move of God. I've seen God move when nobody else could move. I've seen God heal when nobody else could heal. I've seen the genuine flow of the power. I've seen the genuine power of God poured out. Have you seen it? Then you know the difference. And listen, that's something that I want. I want to be able to step to the platform wherever I go in the power of God, whether the church be dead or alive. Touch me. And if God sends me to that place, I want to be able to speak under the anointing and under the power. Listen, we shouldn't be afraid to speak for God.
God, anytime you get an opportunity to speak on whatever platform you get to speak, you better be able to throw him in there, because God has given you an opportunity to speak for him. At some point in time, we got to realize through faith, he is a free gift. It's the most magnificent, wonderful experience that we'll ever have. Jesus said, I will give you another comforter. He came and he stayed. He's here right now. He's in this room right now. He's in the world right now. He's still filling hungry hearts right now. He still wants to pour himself into your empty soul. You may be struggling with the world, and the world feels like it's shaking you left and right, but I want you to understand, just keep on allowing God to fill you and allowing God to touch you and allowing God to move on your situation and your struggle. Don't worry about it. Let God take care of it. And listen, I can tell you that under the Holy Spirit, but there's a lot of times I lay awake at night because I haven't let God take care of it. The Holy Spirit will take care of it. It's more than just speaking in tongues, church. We've reduced the power of God to speaking in tongues. That is such broken people right there, because there is a power that changes people. There's a power that heals. There's a power that lifts us up. There's a power that makes us whole. It's the Holy Spirit that'll transform you. Hallelujah. Right now is the time. Maybe your world is out of control. Maybe you're distracted, and maybe you got 1,000 things going on and you don't know what to do. Put the control of your life in the hands of God. Pause everything that you're doing and call on him right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want your anointing. We want your spirit. We want your power. God, clean me out so you can fill me up. God, take the stupid out of me, Father, so you can fill me with purity. Lord, I want you to move, Father. Give me understanding and wisdom and strength. Guide my heart. Guide me, Father, so that I can speak life into my family. Lord, we need the Holy Ghost. We need it to fall right now. We need it because it's real. We need it because he's a healer. We need it because we're in the midst of evil and dark days, and we need God to step in and change us and touch us. Heavenly Father, Lord, move on us. We need you, God.
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless, and have an amazing week.